Time for another edition of Healthcare Insurance 101. Independent insurance agent with us, as always, and that would be Kathy Cacciola. Good morning.
Good morning, JR. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good.
We're already 1st of February.
Yes, 2 months. And it has been a whirlwind couple of weeks, hasn't it? Well,
I tell you.
It's been crazy. I got to turn on the news about 10 times a day just to see, okay, what happened now?
I'm going to tell you, and the new administration is taking care of business, and hopefully that's going to trickle down for a lot of other things for
us. I really hope so. I think I'm praying that something is done about, you know, the way things are done with Medicare and the Part D plan, and makes it better for people. Because I'm not saying what was before was the best, but I think it can be improved on greatly.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time, and you can see the ins and outs. You know, would they take your suggestions if you decide to write the Donald?
Oh, I doubt it, but but I could definitely try. Well, I do have suggestions, by the way.
Well, why not?
Yes.
I mean,
I've been doing this long enough. I can see what works and what doesn't.
Unfortunately, this year has probably been a different wrench into the mix compared to other years. So what that means is that you still have 2 months. Okay, even the 1st of
you
February.
You got February and March. To change your plan if you choose to. That's if you have a Medicare Advantage plan and your doctor sends you a letter and say effective whatever date, that they won't be taking your plan anymore and you want to keep that doctor, you do have an opportunity to change it. And even after that, because there are different what we call special enrollment periods mm-hmm. that we can apply if you qualify for it. Not everyone will qualify. It's always best to check and call me and I can find out if you can fall into one of these categories.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
It doesn't hurt to ask. Not at all. You got nothing to lose by asking the question.
Because you're allowed to make that one like-to-like change and it has to be done by the 31st of March. So if you're still contemplating, maybe, like Cassie just said, give her a call, 727-735-2337. 727-735-2337. Set up an appointment, okay? And just to see that you do have the I's dotted, T's crossed to make sure this is what you're going to encounter. But again, like you said, though, earlier, Kathy, that is some of these doctors can say, well, okay, we're going to bail out.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, guess what? You may go make an appointment. All of a sudden, well, we don't take your insurance anymore. And you're going, oh, gosh.
Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh. Now
call
you. And you might be going through some kind of treatment protocol. And all of a sudden, your doctor drops your plan. Well, you know, call me. I'll see if I can find out what that doctor does take and make sure we get you moved over so that you don't have to interrupt your treatment protocol that you're going through.
Well, a lot of people just don't want to be left out in the cold, and that's the whole thing. Kathy will try to do her best to find something that will be beneficial for you, but don't wait too long because otherwise then you're going to have to wait until the next enrollment period next year.
Most people will, unless you qualify for one of those special enrollment periods, but you don't know until you ask me, and I can look into it for you. Now, moving forward, a lot of people are going to be turning 65 this year.
Oh, boy.
We have a lot more population here in Florida than we had, let's say, 5 years ago.
Of course.
You just look around you. There's new subdivisions going in just about
everywhere.
There's new apartment complexes. And these folks, when you move here from another state and you are on Medicare, and let's say you have a Medicare Advantage plan or a drug plan, you have only 63 days to change your plan. And that's after you filed your change of address. So I get a lot of folks will come in because they did move here from another state mm-hmm. and they want to know if they could keep their plan. In some cases, yes. If you have a plan through your employer and you are continuing to work for that employer, then yeah, you can keep your plan. If you have a supplement, that's something you pay for monthly, and you move from, let's say, New York or whatever state that is to Florida, you can keep your plan. However, you have to change your drug plan. That is always the case because the prescription drug plans are through Medicare and they are controlled state by state and by zip code.
What's your opinion on that, if you don't mind me asking? Why not have it as a all the way around, everywhere the same?
Well, we Americans, we like choice. We like to have the freedom to choose what kind of health care that we want. And sometimes that choice, unfortunately, comes down to what can I afford?
Okay.
Literally, it does. So Medicare Advantage here in Florida, for the most part, does not have a premium. So you pay zero per month for it. In many cases, you still have to pay your Part B premium, or somebody pays it. Some of these HMOs will pay part of it, most of it, for you by sending it back to Social Security. And these people are in very low budgets and they have very fixed incomes, and they end up with an HMO, sometimes not because that's what they want, it's what they can afford.
Correct.
Because it's very low cost healthcare. HMOs are. You pay very little per month as a copay. Your percentage typically is lower, and your maximum out of pocket is lower, and they typically don't have deductibles. So HMOs is the lowest cost healthcare, and in many cases, it's good healthcare.
Oh, yeah.
It's good healthcare.
You do have to get referrals, et cetera.
You do. You have to have referrals to see any kind of specialist.
Right.
And you have to get authorizations and all of the things that go along with it, because HMOs are very focused on control. I mean, they control where you go and who you see. PPOs, on the other hand, they allow you to go to the specialist of your choice, as long as you've called ahead and say, specialist, do you take my plan? Because not all doctors will.
Nope.
And you can make that appointment without getting a referral through your primary care doctor. Many times that specialist, say it's a cardiologist, will coordinate with your primary care doctor because they want to make sure that they share information. But you don't have to have a referral to go see this particular specialist, whichever it is.
And a lot of people like PPO. That freedom to do
a lot
that.
Of people want that freedom. And with the PPOs, you tend to open up, let's say, bigger healthcare groups that you can go to. When I say bigger healthcare groups, I mean like Moffitt and, okay, you know, like those kinds of
right,
specialty groups. Typically, they'll more readily take a PPO than they will an HMO.
Well, again, it's everybody's choice, what you want. You know, that's where Kathy will come in and help you out with this, just to see what's going to be the best for you.
It has a lot to do with your particular situation. And that's what I always stress to people. That's why I never want to see in this country a one healthcare plan for everyone.
Yeah.
Because people are not the same. Their lifestyles are not the same. Their income's not the same. Everything's not the same. You should be able to get good healthcare regardless of your income. And that's the system that I would love to see.
Yeah, because some areas, one size fits all doesn't always work one size fits all.
It really doesn't, because there's, like I said, there's a lot of people who have different, like, I'll give you a great example. Like, if you're a transplant patient, and I had a transplant patient that wanted an HMO because the neighbor bragged about it, and when I went and spoke to him, I told him, look, how often do you go see your transplant team? Twice a year. Where is it? Out of state. Well, you wouldn't be able to go with an HMO.
No.
I mean, you would have to give that up. He says, I can't give that up. I said, then you can't have an HMO, because he is going to need to go out of state twice a year to see his transplant team. And he can't do that if he's got an HMO. You have to stay in network, meaning in your service area.
Now, you're noticing a lot of people that do move from out of state come down here and say, my gosh, I can't believe these plans that are... I mean,
oh, yeah, they're incredulous. And many of the other states, because I'm licensed in quite a few states out there. Many of those other states don't have the type of plans we have.
Right.
And they don't have the low cost that we have. In many of those states, they pay a premium for that HMO or that PPO.
Really?
They do.
I get the PPO, but the HMO, really?
Yes.
Wow.
They pay a premium. They can come down here and get exactly the same thing without paying a premium for it. And I had many people, they're federal workers. They have that moved down here. Federal workers, they're retiring. And many of those federal workers have to go on Medicare once they reach that 65-year-old
right,
benchmark. They have to go on Medicare, and then they're allowed to keep the plan they have through their retirement program. However, when you compare them side by side, apples to apples, let's say this PPO gets a PPO through your federal program, they're paying for like $300 to $400 a month for it, plus their Part B premium. So you're talking about $700 a month.
Yikes.
And the exact same program, except it's a little better, they can get through Medicare without a premium. They still have to pay the $185, which is your Part B, but $185 versus $700 is quite a saving.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, again, folks, this is what you have to look into. And that's where Kathy will help you out to find the best plan possible. And like she always says, like you said earlier, you're coming up on your 65th birthday. Give yourself 3 to 4 months in advance. And knock on wood, a lot of these people are going to be able to go back into the offices, at least as, okay, let's say by September at the latest, okay, to where it's going to be a lot easier even for next year, I think.
Oh, I think hopefully it'll take that time down from 3 to 4 months. And then literally when you apply for Part B or apply for your Medicare, it shouldn't take any more than, let's say, 2 weeks. I'll be charitable.
Right.
Currently, we're at 4 to 6 weeks and sometimes 8 weeks before, from the time that you apply for your Part B or your Medicare until you get it or get a letter saying that you're going to get it. So right now, there's a long ramp-up time. So 3 to 4 months. Now, if you're also taking Social Security at the same time, then that works on the same time frame. If you are currently drawing Social Security and you're turning 65, no worries. You're already in the system. You are going to get your Medicare card 3 months ahead of time.
Right.
So if you are already drawing Social Security, you don't have to apply. It's going to come automatically.
That's why you need to get the ins and outs and make sure you do it that far in advance for the sake of. It's funny. I'm like the poster boy for this mess because, you know, we did everything the way it's supposed to be done. Sometimes it gets lost. Kathy says, depending on whose desk it goes on, it could be a problem. My Medicare took a bit. Social Security, they jacked it around a few times until somebody finally got the light
went
off.
Yeah, it had to be you.
I mean, it's like I feel like I got a black cloud on, you know, but that's why you do it in advance.
It eventually worked out. But
oh, yes. But it's like
to give you a lot of angst. So thinking, are they ever going to get this straight?
You know, I didn't know I was going to start drinking again. Just kidding. But no, but it's true. So that's why you need to do it in advance, making sure that you've got the program set up, because otherwise it could be a few roadblocks.
Yeah, it's possible that there'll be a roadblock. I mean, I've had, I would say, a handful throughout the years that something happened. I mean, something happened in the process to slow it down. And eventually we got it worked out. But, you know, like I had a gentleman last week, he didn't take his Part B when he should have. And he didn't know. I mean, he didn't know. He had coverage through his employer, and he left that employer, went to an employer. There's a lot of things happen, moving parts in there. If you are working for an employer and you want to go on and you're going on Medicare, you don't have to apply for Part B, but you can't leave that employer. If that employer somehow drops your plan or you leave that employer or go to another, your forgiveness is ended.
Oh, man.
So that's the part that he didn't understand. Is that he still had coverage through an employer. It was just a different employer. It didn't matter. So he accrued a penalty.
How bad?
Oh, it wasn't terrible. But I told him, you know, the bleeding's got to stop.
Right.
You're not going to be able to outlive this. And he's all upset. And then when I told him, he also had to pay the Part B premium, which is $185. So you pay the Part B premium, and then you also pay the penalty on top of it. So that number per month that's coming on your Social Security checks higher because you have a penalty applied. So that's what he was upset about. I also have to pay the Part B.
Yeah,
you do. And he was like very upset. And you also have to pay a Part D, which is your prescription drug plan penalty. Understand that penalty isn't just your Part B. It's also your Part D. And those are sharper teeth that they put into it. So under Part B, if you do not take it when you're 65 years old and you don't have credible coverage through an employer, you will accrue a penalty of 10% per year for every year you didn't have it yet was eligible for it. Now, that's your Part B penalty. Now, the Part D penalty is a little sharper teeth. It's 1% per month for every month you didn't have it yet were eligible for it. So you have to have a plan in order to delay your Part A and B or delay your Medicare. Your plan through your employer has to be continuous, and it has to include prescription drugs. So now,
I don't have a D. I don't have a D for mine.
Yes, you do. It's incorporated in your Medicare Advantage plan. So you don't have to pay for it separately. So the Medicare Advantage plans, they're called MAPD, Medicare Advantage with Prescription Drugs. So
that's why Kathy take care of this stuff, because I'm looking at it. I'm going, and I've asked her this before, and I'm going, okay, dummy, she's explained it to you, okay?
Medicare Advantage with Prescription Drugs. So that's an all-in-one plan. When you go to a doctor, a pharmacy, get labs, or go get x-rays, you always have just one card to use if it's a Medicare Advantage plan. So it's one card for everything. You don't show your Medicare card. You simply show this card for whatever company it is that you have for your Medicare Advantage.
There you go. Okay. See, that's why if you need someone to handle this, Kathy, being an independent agent, works out well, because she can shop around for you. She can find the best plan for you, because there are a lot of them out there. And this year is a little tougher than most. So she wants to find one that's going to be a fit that you can be able to do, at least get through the year. Because I think there'll be some changes maybe for next year.
I have no doubt whatsoever that there will be profound changes next year. And the reason why is because there's, when they change, they called it the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a joke, but because it didn't reduce the inflation whatsoever.
Oh, not.
But
not
what it did was affect the Part D part of Medicare. So they eliminated the donut hole, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
A lot of folks fell into that. They would be in the pharmacy line and maybe last month paid $45 for the prescription drugs, and then they get in the line this month and they're paying $250. I mean, that was the donut hole. When that happened, you went into the donut hole. That donut hole's been eliminated now. Unfortunately, it's also front-loaded this year. So you're going to pay the most you will pay for your prescription drugs all year in the very first month that you have it.
Right.
And some people find that very difficult, because you might pay $1,600 for your prescription drugs in the very first month you have it, let's say January, and then you'll pay a very small copay the remainder of the year, or at some point it drops off, you pay nothing. So that is because you've reached your $2,000 maximum out of pocket. Once you reach that, not only includes what you pay out of pocket, includes your deductible, but also includes what the company pays on your behalf. So you can get there pretty quickly. But once you reach that $2,000 limit, then you pay zero for your prescription drugs the remainder of the year. Now that sounds wonderful. Unfortunately, it's not going to be free. At some point this year, there's going to be enough people that have already paid their $2,000 that the companies that represent them have to pay the remainder. So that's going to, and a lot of the companies are trying to hold back funds to fund this. And we don't know how this is going to work out. Eventually, I mean, the bill's going to become due.
Oh, boy.
And they're going to need to adjust the Medicare Advantage plans for 2026 to make
recoup,
up, to make sure that bill is paid. So I suspect it's going to change quite a bit.
Well, the Inflation Reduction Act, like you say, was a bad idea.
It's a good idea, but I think it could be done a lot
differently
so that it eased into it and not all of a sudden all at once, because all at once is going
to
happen.
Yeah, a lot of people I've heard barking because they have to have everything front-loaded, like you said.
It's front-loaded.
And it's like, oh my gosh, it's like, but
I can't believe how many people called me because they get a letter in the mail saying you could do a monthly payment, and they'll call me and say, what is this monthly payment thing? Why do I have to make a monthly payment? You don't have to.
All right.
It's an option. So what they've done is they've allowed you, if this is going to work out for you and this front loaded thing isn't going to work out because you might be on a fixed income.
Sure.
There are many people who are. So you can spread that out the 12 months of the year by paying the company that represents your prescription drugs. You pay them monthly by dividing what your prescription drugs are going to cost for the year by 12, and then just pay them that amount. Then when you go to the pharmacy, you would pay zero. Now, I don't know a whole lot of people that took them up on this, but there's many people thought they had to, and you don't have to. It's totally an option.
Well, I guess it also depends on the cost of your prescriptions.
Correct.
So you don't want to have to go, like you say, you can go in there and it's a $2,000 limit, but the first month and month and a half is $1,600. You're going like, gosh, where am I going to get that?
Where am I going to get that? Yeah.
So that might be an easier option for you.
It'd be an easier option. You could, I mean, You have to do that yourself. An agent can't set that up for you. So all you do is they send you the paperwork if you want to do it. But many people thought they had to do it. It was something that, you know, that was forced on them.
Right.
But it isn't. It's an option. You can choose to do that if the front loaded doesn't work out for you.
Well, I know a lot of people, we talked about this in the past, that it was going to be quite a shock for a lot of people for this 2025 season.
Yeah, it is. And in some cases, this is a godsend for some people.
You're right.
Because there are people on some very high cost drugs that pay a lot per month and went in the donut hole and then, you know, in just a few months. And those people, $2,000 out of pocket is a little gift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
It's far less than what they've paid in years past.
Now, when it came up to the thing with the donut hole, just give people an example of what the difference is that they had to pay so much a month and when they got to a certain point and they went into the donut hole and that entailed them have to pay what?
So the way that it worked before 2025 is when you went into a pharmacy and you picked up your prescriptions, Medicare kept a ledger on your behalf and you would go in the pharmacy and Medicare would go back to that pharmacy and say, what do you sell these drugs off the shelf for? They'd go back to Medicare and say, this is what we sell off the shelf for. I mean, it's automated, but you get the
right,
point.
Right, right, right.
They would put that on your ledger and they would use the retail cost of that drug. Now you might pay $45, say it's a tier 3.
Right.
But the retail cost of that drug might be $1,500. So they would put that on your ledger. Once you reach 5,000, I think it was 5,035. Once you reach that number, then you went into the donut hole.
Gotcha.
In the donut hole, and let's use $1,000
right.
retail cost just for an example. In the donut hole, now you have to pay 25% of the retail cost of that drug.
Ooh.
So maybe in January and February, you paid $45. But in March, because now you went in the donut hole, you're paying $250. Because that's 25% of that retail cost.
And you're going to run that through the end of the year that way.
You have to run it through until you've reached $8,000.
Oh, okay.
And once you've reached $8,000, then the remainder of the year, you paid 5% of that cost. So that's how it worked before. Fast forward to today, now it's working differently. They're going on what you pay out of pocket. So let's say you pay $45 copay for a particular drug.
Mm-hmm.
They put $45 on your ledger. Then once you've reached $2,000 and they include the deductible in that and what the plan pays on your behalf, then the remainder of the year, no donut hole, you pay zero for your prescription drugs. So you can imagine the cost of this over time.
Well, see, and a lot of people are just going, like you said, they go into a panic mode for the front loader.
Right. They think that that's what they're going to have to pay all year. That because they have to meet the $590 deductible that Medicare sets that deductible every year.
You're
it's
right.
not set by the companies. So $590 is what Medicare set for 2025. That's the deductible. Many plans have you pay that deductible up front. Most of the Medicare Advantage plans do not. They absorb that or a portion of it. And some of them have a small deductible. Whatever the Medicare Advantage plan absorbed, they absorb. It depends on the company and it depends on the plan.
If you need some help, you need to make the call.
Yeah.
727-735-2337. Kathy's website is kecinsuranceservices.com, kecinsuranceservices.com. You can send her an email to that as well. But some way, shape, or form, get in touch and make the necessary arrangements to sit down. And again, if you're coming up on 65 in the next couple of months, you better make that appointment as well and find the time and then sit down with Kathy to see what's going to be your options for you to go on Medicare. And again, if you're on a health care plan, that's okay. But if you're on a plan that's less than 20 employees in your office, then you have no other choice but to go on Medicare. Kathy will explain all that for you. But some way, shape, or form, make that call, 727-735-2337. KECinsuranceServices.com is the website address. You've been listening to Healthcare Insurance 101 with Kathy Cacciola. We'll do it again in two.
See you in two.
Any information we provide is limited to the plans that we do offer in your area. Please contact Medicare.gov or 1-800-MEDICARE to get information on all of your options.